All right, so get this. We're going deep into the notes from the latest San Leandro Computer Club meeting. You know, you missed it, so we're bringing it to you. And let me tell you, they covered a lot. Vintage Atari love, SpaceX's crazy plans. It's wild. Let's catch you up.
You know, it's really cool how they connect the old tech stuff with the future. The San Leandro Computer Club, they're a passionate bunch, clearly. And their talks, oh man, they really show it.
They really do. You're so right. They talked about everything. The Atari 1400XL was like the star of the show. Remember that computer from way back in the early 80s? Well, they're bringing it back, and in a big way.
What's really cool is how they're doing it. It's not just, dusting it off. They want to make it better, like way better, pushing the limits of this old computer, like 3D scanning the case so they can, remake it. They were even thinking about using like a smartphone to scan it.
Well, hold on. Like a DIY replicator? That's insane.
Yeah, and they want to build faster drives for it. Imagine running today's software on a computer from the 80s. It'd be like putting a brand new engine in a classic car.
I love that analogy.
Right, blending the old and new. It's fascinating. They even had this wild idea to use the Atari 1400XL for, get this, voice calls. Like using something called VoIP.
Wait, so ditch the smartphone and talk on an Atari. That's some serious retro vibes. But like, how would that even work? VoIP? I mean, imagine explaining that to someone back in the 80s.
I know, right? It's wild. Think of it like this VoIP takes your voice, turns it into like digital data, sends it over the internet. It's just like email. And then on the other side, it's turned back into sound so the other person hears you. Pretty cool, huh?
Super cool.
Yeah.
So they could be talking on a computer that's what, 40 years old? And it would sound as clear as a modern phone.
That's right.
Okay, so they're upgrading the hardware. What other crazy ideas did they have for the 1400XL?
Oh, they had more. They even talked about having a 10-line programming contest. Imagine trying to create something amazing with only 10 lines of code. Talk about a throwback to when programmers had to be super efficient with what they had.
That would be such a cool challenge. I wonder what people would come up with. It really makes you appreciate how ingenious those early programmers were. Okay, so we've got the 1400XL revival. What other retro treasures were they geeking out over?
Well, it seems they weren't just focused on making the Atari 1400XL run better. They also want to make sure it can be fixed. They spent some time talking about this project to reimagine the Atari test harness.
Hold on, hold on. What's a test harness? For those of us who weren't, messing around with electronics back then, break it down for
Okay, sure. So imagine a test harness, like a special toolkit, just for figuring out what's wrong with the computer. It lets you test all the different parts and circuits to find the problem. Kind of like a doctor uses a stethoscope to check a patient, you know?
Okay, got it. So it's basically essential for keeping these old machines alive and running. What's their plan for this test harness thing?
Well, they said the original test harness was kind of clunky. It was built into an old Atari 850 case. Their goal is to create a newer version that's smaller, easier to use.
Makes sense. A sleeker, more modern design would be a welcome upgrade for anyone working with those classic machines. So it's not just about reviving the hardware, it's about the tools and resources to support a whole community of enthusiasts.
Exactly. And they're really dedicated to making these resources available to everyone. One of the members, Garrett, was actually tasked with searching for a specific type of test harness that might be perfect for the project.
It's awesome to see that level of collaboration. Okay, so I've got vintage computers being revived, test harnesses getting a makeover. What else was on their minds?
Well, get ready for this because we're going from the tiny world of circuits to the vastness of space. The San Leandro Computer Club also had a lively chat about SpaceX's Starship program.
Now, this is where it gets really interesting. SpaceX is known for its bold vision, and Starship is like the ultimate example of that. We're talking about making humanity a multiplanetary species, people.
No kidding. They're talking about actually catching the booster rocket and landing the Starship in the ocean during this upcoming test flight, scheduled for April 18th.
And that's just the beginning. Hold up, catching a rocket. That sounds crazy. But okay, reusable rockets, that's the goal, right? What happens after that?
In orbit refueling, which means Starship can fly way farther. And ultimately, their goal is to send, get this, 1,000 Starships to Mars. 1,000. Think about that.
1,000 starships to Mars? Okay, my mind is officially blown. I can't even imagine what that would look like. But come on, there's got to be some doubt, right? It can't all be smooth sailing.
Well, in the meeting notes, some members did express some skepticism, some concerns about whether SpaceX can actually meet these deadlines and, what bureaucratic hurdles they might run into, especially with NASA involved.
Yeah, that's a good point. Space travel is so complex and expensive. It's not just about the technology, it's about the money, the logistics, and all the politics involved.
Exactly. So while SpaceX's vision is super exciting, We got to balance that excitement with a dose of reality.
Okay, so we've got vintage Ataris, futuristic starships, and a whole lot of real-world considerations to think about.
Mm.
But hey, this is the San Leandro Computer Club, not just a boring tech conference. They also talked about, you know, real-life stuff, like their personal experiences with tech, right?
It did. And some of the most interesting stories were about their trips to Japan. It's really cool how technology can be, like, a window into different cultures.
Tell me more. I love these personal stories. It adds a whole other dimension to their tech talks.
So one member, Bob1200XL, was actually kind of bummed that he couldn't find any Atari products in Tokyo.
Oh, that's funny. You'd think in a country like Japan, which is so tech-savvy, you could find anything.
Right. But then again, Japan has its own unique and, like, very specific tech culture. Maybe Atari just never really caught on there.
That's a good point. It's a reminder that what's popular in one country might be totally unknown in another.
Exactly. But then you have Garrett, who had a totally different experience. He shared pictures of all these amazing vintage game finds he got in both Taiwan and Japan.
Ooh, I bet those pictures were awesome. What kind of treasures did he find?
He didn't go into too much detail about the specific games, but he mentioned finding a ton of vintage parts. He said it was like stepping back in time.
I can imagine. It's amazing how these vintage tech communities exist all over the world, each with their own unique finds and stories.
And you know what? That actually connects to the Atari 1400XL project in a way. Like here in the US, they're working on reviving this specific machine. But in other parts of the world, there are probably whole communities dedicated to preserving different kinds of vintage tech. It makes you wonder what other hidden gems are out there.
It's like a global treasure hunt. And it's not just about the tech itself. It's about the stories, the memories, and the connections that come with these machines.
Absolutely. Like each piece of vintage tech holds a piece of history, a story waiting to be told.
So let's recap. We've got the Atari revival, the search for a test harness, SpaceX's grand vision, and a peek into the world of vintage tech in Japan. It sounds like the San Leandro Computer Club meeting was a whirlwind of ideas and experiences.
It definitely was. It's crazy how they managed to cover so much in just one meeting.
I know, right? But something tells me we've only just scratched the surface. There's got to be more to uncover, right?
Oh, there's definitely more. We've got more details about those Atari projects, more stories from their adventures in Japan, and a deep dive into their thoughts on artificial intelligence.
Okay, you've definitely got my attention. I'm ready for more.
Welcome back. It's amazing how much they talked about at the San Leandro Computer Club meeting.
I know, right? It's like a whole tech conference packed into a couple of hours. But hey, I'm ready for more. Last time, we were talking about their trips to Japan and how those stories kind of connect to the global community of vintage tech fans. What else did they talk about?
Oh, this one story stood out. Garrett talked about how cheap sushi was in Japan. Thanks to the exchange rate, he had this amazing meal for, like, a fraction of the price it would be here.
Okay, that's a travel tip I can get behind. Who knew vintage tech and budget sushi could go together so well?
Right. It's a good reminder that even in places known for being expensive, you can find good deals if you look.
Speaking of expensive, someone else had a not-so-budget-friendly experience with Japanese food.
You must be talking about Robert's story. He talked about this, like, kind of funny story of having to buy a pricey meal on a bullet train. Convenience comes at a cost, I guess.
Ouch. Yeah, those high-speed trains can be a budget killer.
Yeah.
But wait, didn't he say something about, like, negotiating the price?
He did. He actually managed to talk the price down a bit after some back and forth. His bargaining skills came in handy, even on a bullet train.
No way! That's hilarious. It's like something out of a movie. It goes to show, sometimes it pays to try your luck, even when prices seem set in stone.
Totally. It's a good reminder to, you know, be aware of different cultures and how they bargain. But also, don't be afraid to speak up, especially when it comes to travel costs.
So true. Okay, so we've got budget sushi, bullet train bargaining, and vintage game hunting Japan. Sounds like quite the adventure for these guys.
It was. And it really shows the human side of technology. It's not all just circuits and code. It's about the people who make it, who use it, and the experiences they have along the way.
I love that. It's those personal connections that make these discussions so interesting. Okay, so we've covered vintage Ataris, futuristic starships, and international tech adventures. What other mind-blowing topics did they get into?
Well, they had a really interesting talk about artificial intelligence.
Mm.
You know, AI. It's a topic that's becoming more and more relevant as AI technology keeps getting better and better.
AI is definitely the hot topic these days. It feels like everyone's talking about it, from experts to just regular people. What do they have to say about it?
Oh, they talked about a bunch of stuff. the good and the bad, the benefits and the ethical stuff. They even talked about how AI could help automate tasks, analyze data, even help with creative stuff.
Wow, that's a lot. So they see AI as a powerful tool with tons of potential.
Yeah, they do. But they also acknowledge the downsides. Like they talked about jobs being replaced, you know, as AI gets smarter and can do things humans used to do.
Yeah, that's a valid concern. As AI becomes more advanced, we need to figure out how it will impact jobs and how we can adapt to those changes.
Absolutely. They also talk about the need for transparency and accountability in AI algorithms, you know? Like, if AI is going to be making important decisions, we need to understand how it's making those decisions.
That's so important. Transparency is key for trusting any kind of technology, especially one as powerful as AI. Anything else?
Oh, yeah. They talked about the possibility of bias in AI algorithms, because they're often trained on data that reflects our own biases, you know, so that could lead to unfair outcomes. That's something we need to be really careful about.
That's a big issue. We need to make sure that AI systems are developed and used ethically, and that they don't just make things worse.
Right. And they even shared some personal stories about their own experiences with AI, things like using voice assistants or talking to AI chatbots.
Oh, I'd love to hear those stories. It helps us understand how AI is already impacting our lives, you know, even in ways we don't realize.
One member talked about how his voice assistant kept misunderstanding him, which led to some pretty funny situations.
Oh, I've been there. Technology can be so frustrating sometimes.
Another member talked about using an AI chatbot on a customer service website. He was impressed by how real and helpful it seemed, but also a bit freaked out by how hard it was to tell it wasn't a real person.
That's interesting. It seems like we're getting to a point where the line between humans and AI is blurring.
Yeah, and that brings up all sorts of questions about how we'll communicate in the future and what role AI will play in our lives.
Okay, so they talk about a lot of things with AI, the potential, the problems, and how it's affecting us already. It sounds like AI could be a whole meeting topic on its own.
Totally. But it's cool how they connected these AI conversations to a bigger discussion about technology and how it's shaping our world.
You're right. It's like they're showing us that technology isn't just about the newest gadgets or software. It's about the human stories, the ethical questions, and the future we're all building together.
Exactly. And they remind us that we're not just passive users of technology. We can shape how it develops and make sure it's used for good.
So vintage Ataris, space-bound starships, global tech adventures, and thought-provoking AI conversations. Is there anything else they managed to squeeze into this meeting?
Oh, there's more. Remember that Atari test harness project we talked about?
Yeah.
They had some really cool updates showing how committed they are to preserving these old machines and making them accessible to more people.
Okay, I'm all ears. Tell me more about how they're bringing this vintage toolkit into the 21st century.
So the person leading the test harness project has been busy making the design even better, more compact, and easier to use. They really want to create something that's both functional and looks good.
That's awesome. Combining the practicality of a vintage tool with a sleek, modern design.
Exactly. They even talked about experimenting with different materials and 3D printing to make a truly unique design.
3D printing a vintage tech tool. That's a cool mix of old and new. It's like they're connecting different eras of technology in a real, tangible way.
It shows their creativity and how passionate they are about pushing the limits of vintage tech. They're not just preserving the past, they're reimagining it for new generations of enthusiasts.
I love that. Vintage tech isn't just about nostalgia. It can be a source of inspiration and a reminder that even old technology can still be exciting and relevant today.
Totally. And they're doing a great thing by making these resources available to everyone. It's like they're building a bridge between the past and future, inviting others to join them in rediscovering the magic of vintage tech.
Speaking of journeys, let's go back to Japan for a minute. Remember those stories about the different experiences people had? Like, Bob 1200 XL couldn't find any Atari stuff, but Garrett found a treasure trove of vintage games. Well, it seems those contrasting experiences weren't just about tech.
Oh, right. They had some very different food experiences, too. Garrett raved about his cheap sushi, but Robbie shared a not-so-great story about his first time trying sushi and a not-so-friendly local.
Oh, no. What happened?
Robbie was excited to try sushi for the first time, but the place he went to wasn't exactly known for its hospitality. He said it kind of left him feeling bummed out, and he jokingly swore off sushi for the rest of the trip.
Oh, that's too bad. It reminds us that not every trip is perfect, and you'll run into cultural differences or just plain bad luck sometimes.
Definitely. But even those not-so-great experiences can become funny stories later on. And who knows, maybe Robbie will give sushi another try someday.
Hopefully with better luck next time. Okay, so contrasting tech finds, contrasting sushi experiences, and lots of fascinating discussions about technology. What else did they manage to fit into this meeting?
Remember how Garrett talked about finding all those cool vintage treasures in Japan? Well, his adventures weren't just about games and parts. He also shared some really cool pictures of the Akihabara district in Tokyo, you know, the place famous for its electronics and gaming culture.
Oh, Akihabara. I've heard so much about it. It's like a dreamland for tech lovers. What did Garrett have to say about it?
He said it was sensory overload. Buildings covered in flashing lights and huge video screens, all showing off the newest gadgets. He said it felt like stepping into a futuristic city, a testament to Japan's obsession with technology.
Wow, I can only imagine. Sounds like a place where reality meets science fiction. A place where the future is already happening.
Exactly. And Garrett's pictures capture that energy perfectly. The busy streets, the colorful shops filled with electronics, and the crowds of people wanting to experience the latest tech.
Sounds like a place that could inspire a whole new generation of tech enthusiasts. A place where the possibilities of technology seem endless.
For sure. It reminds us that technology isn't just about the devices themselves. It's about the culture surrounding them, the communities they create, and the dreams they inspire.
Well said. So we've got vintage Atari revival projects, a journey through Akihabara, contrasting sushi adventures, and a deep dive into artificial intelligence. This San Leandro Computer Club meeting was packed.
It was. It's amazing how they covered so much in just one meeting.
I know. But wait, there's more. Remember those plans to bring back the Atari 1400 XL and make it even better? Well, they didn't stop at faster drives and VoIP. They actually talked about using artificial intelligence with it.
Whoa, now that's interesting. What were they thinking? AI on a computer from the early 80s.
They talked about using an AI program, Eliza, to make their Atari systems talk to each other. Imagine having a conversation with a vintage computer all powered by AI. It's like creating a dialogue between different eras of technology.
That's a cool idea. It makes you think differently about what you can do with old technology and how you can mix it with new technology in unexpected ways.
Exactly. And there's more. They also talked about using their Atari systems for voice messages and then using those in a programming contest. It's like they're finding new ways to combine the nostalgia of vintage computing with modern communication.
It's really inspiring to see them push the limits of what this old machine can do. They're not just bringing it back to life, they're reinventing it.
And it's great that they want to share their discoveries with everyone. They even mentioned making a YouTube video to show off their system, hoping to inspire others and contribute to the vintage tech community.
That's fantastic. It shows how passionate projects can inspire others to explore technology, no matter how old it is. It's like they're saying that innovation never gets old, and even old technology can still be creative and exciting.
Absolutely. So we've got a vintage computer becoming a modern communication device, a potential YouTube hit, and a whole lot of inspiration for anyone who loves old tech. What else happened at this meeting?
Remember those funny stories about Garrett's struggles with the language barrier in Japan? Well, it seems those language adventures didn't end at the convenience store. He also shared some funny stories about trying to talk to locals using gestures, broken Japanese, and a translation app.
Oh, I bet those were good. It's amazing how technology can help us communicate, but also create funny situations when things get lost in translation.
Totally. He talked about this one time when he tried to order a snack using his translation app, but the store clerk was totally confused.
Oh, no. What happened? Did he get a snack in the end?
After a lot of frantic gesturing and some creative charades, he finally got his message across and got his snack. He said it reminded him that even with technology, communication can be unpredictable and hilarious.
That's a great story. It shows that even in a world full of technology, human connection still needs improvisation, flexibility, and a sense of humor.
Absolutely. It's those little moments of human interaction, the unexpected challenges and shared laughter that make traveling so memorable. And it reminds us that technology, even though it's helpful, can't solve everything. Sometimes you just need good old-fashioned human ingenuity.
So true. Okay, so we've got a vintage Atari talking to AI, a trip through Akihabara, some language barrier mishaps, and a whole lot of inspiration for embracing the unexpected in our technological journeys. What else happened at this meeting?
Remember our talk about SpaceX and their ambitious plans for Starship?
Yeah.
Well, they didn't just marvel at the project and talk about the challenges. They actually got into the specifics of the upcoming test flight, like how they're going to catch the booster and land Starship in the ocean.
Okay, now this is where I geek out. What kind of technical details did they discuss?
They talked about how they'll guide the booster back to the launch site and the system they'll use to gently land Starship in the ocean. It sounds super complex, requiring software, hardware, and human expertise to work perfectly.
It's mind-blowing to think about the level of precision and coordination needed for that. It's like a technological ballet where every move is planned and executed perfectly.
Exactly. They also talked about the challenges of landing a spacecraft in the ocean, like waves, wind, and saltwater corrosion.
Those are some serious challenges. Landing on land is hard enough, but landing in the ocean adds a whole other level of difficulty.
It does. But it also shows how innovative SpaceX is. They're not afraid to push the boundaries, and they're always trying new things to make space travel more efficient and sustainable.
I admire their willingness to take risks and learn from their mistakes. It's like they're showing us that progress isn't always about playing it safe. It's about dreaming big and taking on the challenges that come with those dreams.
Absolutely. Their Starship discussions remind us that we're living in a time of incredible technological progress. The possibilities are constantly changing. It's exciting and uncertain, but it's also a time of huge opportunity for those who are willing to embrace the unknown and help shape the future of space exploration.
Well said. Okay, so we've got Vintage Ataris talking to AI, Akihabara, funny language barrier stories, a deep dive into Starship's test flight, and a whole lot of inspiration for tackling the challenges and opportunities of this fast-changing tech world. What else did they talk about?
Remember those personal stories from Japan about the different experiences they had? Well, their adventures weren't just about tech, food, and language barriers. They also talked about Japanese culture and how technology shapes everyday life there.
Oh, that's interesting. I'd love to hear their thoughts on how technology and culture mix in Japan.
One member talked about how impressed he was by the public transportation. He said the train system was super easy to use, thanks to clear signs, user-friendly ticket machines, and real-time information.
That's so cool. It sounds way better than the public transportation in a lot of other places.
Right. And another member talked about how vending machines were everywhere, selling everything from drinks and snacks to electronics and clothes. He even joked about seeing a vending machine for umbrellas.
An umbrella vending machine? Now that's clever. I guess when you live in a place that rains a lot, easy access to umbrellas is a must.
Exactly. It shows how technology can be adapted to fit a culture's needs. And someone else talked about how everyone was using mobile payments and contactless technology. People were using their smartphones for everything, like buying groceries and getting on trains.
That's definitely ahead of the curve compared to a lot of countries. Sounds like Japan is embracing the future of digital payments.
They are. These observations show how technology can help us understand different cultures. It reveals their priorities, values, and how they approach everyday life.
Absolutely. It's a reminder that technology isn't just about the devices. It's about how they're used, how they fit into society, and how they shape how we live and interact with the world.
Well said. So we've got a vintage Atari that might be talking to AI, a journey through Akihabara, funny sushi adventures, a deep dive into Starship's test flight, and a look at tech in Japanese culture. It's amazing how much they talked about in this meeting.
It is. It shows how diverse their interests are, their passion for exploring, and how they can connect different topics to show how technology, culture, and human experience are all linked.
Absolutely. Their discussions remind us that technology isn't just about gadgets and software. It's about the people behind it, the stories they tell, the challenges they face, and the dreams they chase.
Well said. It sounds like we've reached the end of our deep dive into the San Leandro Computer Club meeting notes. What a journey through the tech world, past and present.
It has been. So many interesting insights, inspiring stories, and reminders that technology reflects our human creativity, curiosity, and desire to connect with each other and the world around us.
Okay, but before we wrap up this part of our deep dive, I feel like there's one last gem in those meeting notes, something that really